Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Castor, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you.
Today's special guest is Dave Helmick. Hello, Dave.
Hello.
So Dave is the Housing and Property Supervisor for the City of Jefferson Department of Planning and Protective Services. That is a mouthful.
It is a long title, but basically means I deal with nuisances and dangerous buildings.
All right. We appreciate your work in that area, first of all, let me say. And there's one area I'd like to really focus on, which is the Capitol Avenue area, because it seems like you're spending a lot of time right now driving up and down Capitol Avenue with the idea there are three specific areas that are kind of under your purview right now, being the old Missouri State Penitentiary, a bunch of the houses that are up for redevelopment, repairs along Capitol Avenue, as well as the old News Tribune building at 210 Monroe. So why don't we start with MSP? What exactly is going on at MSP at this point?
Currently, the activities that we're doing at MSP are we entered into a contract with a company out of St. Louis called MACC, and they worked on brush removal, poison ivy removal, cleaning up trash, storm debris, basically making the site more presentable and safe. While that's going on, we also started demolition of the Saddle Tree Factory, which was the only structure that was left in the lower part of the yard that's in the city-controlled section. And that started about 2 weeks ago, and the structure was completely dropped. And so now we have this dangerous building, a blighted building, is now just a pile of rubble. Once that rubble is sorted through and everything's taken out, all the metal, all the recycling, all the trash, everything that goes with that, the site will be graded. They'll bring in dirt, and then they'll seed and straw it to turn it into green space. That's some of the major activities, but some of the other smaller stuff that we're doing at the same time is there were some debris piles that were left behind from previous state demolitions. We're spreading that out and making it a nice graded surface. Mm-hmm. And we're increasing the ability for citizens to be able to view the river from the end of Lafayette through the brush removal mm-hmm. and removal of this debris. So while it's not as big and flashy as, you know, the demolition or some of the stuff that's going on, it really will make a big difference for anyone that walks down Lafayette or wants to go and view the river from next to the federal courthouse or the MSP historic site. It really is opening up what you can see from there.
Yeah.
The entire job was supposed to take 4 weeks. We're at the end of week three. Weather hasn't been the greatest for some of the activities, so it is pushed back a little bit, but I would still think in the next week to week and a half, they'll be wrapping up the majority of the work at MSP.
Yeah. It probably, you know, as you were talking, I'm sitting there thinking, well, you know, there's probably been 20 years of just growth, right? So it probably is a stunning view there when you think about removing all of that invasive plants and things that just naturally grow and have not been maintained. So how accessible will that site be to the public once you've got it graded?
Currently, there is still fencing up for MSP. It still is a secure site. There's the wall, there's fencing. So while the end of Lafayette by the cul-de-sac is accessible and it's a great place to view the river and overlook kind of the lower part of the MSP site, actually entrance into the site, you know, still will be fenced off.
Sure.
You know, the hopes of removing these dangerous structures and doing all this work is that it makes way for future development. So at some point, you know, it will be an area where the public will be able to experience, you know, MSP and the river and the views and everything. But currently, the best part of it that you could view would be at the end of Lafayette.
Okay. All right. So then obviously the next steps will be once it's clean, that at that point, the city can start soliciting ideas as to how to use the space.
Correct. And, okay. You know, once we make it safe, we make it presentable, then we can start marketing. We can start going forward and seeing what can be used at that site. And then, you know, what's the best utilization of that site to move forward? Could be, you know, something that's a public thing like a park or a marketplace, you know, or you can dream big and it could be somebody wants to come in and put, you know, buildings up. It sure. Really, at that point, once it's safe and it's presentable and it's a good developable site, it's really just a blank canvas. Yeah. It could pretty much be anything at that point.
All right. Well, let's go a little bit farther towards downtown. So let's talk about some of those old historic homes that fell into disrepair. I guess, again, how did we start? How do we get there? right? Why did they get to that condition? What's the city's approach to try to remove those unsafe structures?
You know, as far as how they got to that condition, there was 33 properties owned by one property owner. Property owner failed to maintain them at all. There's bad roofs, water infiltration, people breaking in, squatters, severe hoarding situations in some of the house. You let that go on for 20 years, it's going to deteriorate both the interior and the exterior of the structure. Yeah. You know, so that's kind of how it got to that point. Now, how we move forward from there was over the last 8 years, the city has been working to acquire those properties or get the properties into the hands of people that are willing to do renovations or move forward. That started with a blight study of the neighborhood. Once the neighborhood was determined that because of the large presence of deteriorated structures, it was a blighted area, that opened up other mechanisms for us to move forward to try to acquire the properties, redevelop properties, and offer those to sell to outside parties. We've done this in four phases. We opened up public meetings, asked the public what buildings are the most historically relevant, which ones would you like us to save? And so those are the ones that we went in the first phase through a partnership with the Housing Authority, and we were able to acquire six structures in that first phase. Mm-hmm. Once those were acquired, we went through the RFP process through the Housing Authority, as they were acting as our land clearance authority. And they were offered out to people who put bids in. They were selected. And you can drive down Jackson Street, and a couple of the houses on Capitol 500 block were part of that first phase. Mm-hmm. Once that phase was done, we moved into phase two, which was more of the main facing houses on the 500 block of Capitol Avenue. Procedure was exactly the same. Phase three was two structures and some empty lots on the 400 block of East Capitol. We finally got those rolling, and we figured out what worked, how to do it in an efficient manner. The city talked with the Housing Authority, and it was determined that this last phase, phase four, the city would just take it all on their own. Mm-hmm. So what we did is we took all 22 remaining properties out of the initial ones, and we went through the condemnation process and through the courts to acquire those properties. Mm-hmm. That was awarded to us earlier this year. We allowed the previous owner 30 days to get their personal belongings out, which just expired the end of April. So now our next step is to offer those properties up to citizens, redevelopers, whoever may want to rehab a structure, build something new on one of the empty lots through an RFP process. Once the RFP process is done, then we select whoever wins those, and then they get to rehab them or build or basically bring that part of the neighborhood back to life. Today was a Historic Preservation Commission meeting where they discussed RFP. The next step is it'll go to Public Works and Planning meeting, and then it'll go to full council to move forward. So the language could still change quite a bit between now and when it's actually made public and we issue the RFP. But the main goal of the city is these structures were all very dangerous. Some of them that still remain very dangerous.
Yeah.
We want to get them in the hands of somebody with the means and the methods to go through and rehab these properties to make them safe, make them usable. Or if there is no one that's willing to do that, to remove the blight and the danger by unfortunately having to potentially, you know, demolish some of the structures.
Yeah.
The reason why there's certain ones left currently on the RFP process, there's three properties up on Capitol Avenue or right at Adams, and then two on Jackson Street. The two on Jackson Street structurally didn't warrant demolition at the time, so they were allowed to stay. The three that are on Capitol Avenue, the reason those are still there is because we did put out a call for interested parties. Mm-hmm. And what that did is it allowed us to say to the community, if you think these should be saved and you are willing to put down a deposit saying that they're willing to save it, when we acquire them, if we acquire them, then you would at least put a proposal in saying that you will redevelop. Doesn't mean they're going to be awarded it. You know, the contract language was very clear that this was just to stop demolition on these dangerous buildings because there is some kind of interest.
Yeah.
So the three, 113 Adams, 401 East Capitol, and 429 East Capitol, which is old funeral home, that's why those still stand, even though they are extremely dangerous buildings, mm-hmm. is because there is an interest from the community to save those. Now, if that would fall through or if we have a bad storm and something changes, the city, of course, could still step in and have to abate that danger.
Sure.
But that's kind of what the process has been so far and where we're at. And it does require a lot of staff time, a lot of maintenance, a lot of lawn mowing and resecuring structures and having city staff go into these structures to clear them, because they do constantly have issues with squatters and other folks entering them. You know, so while the redevelopment side of it is great, and I definitely am excited for that, the bigger part of it is taking these very dangerous structures and making them safe for the people in that neighborhood.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it strikes me as you're saying all that there are two things that come to mind. One is that there is a early stage of the city interacting with the property owner through nuisance abatements. And so maybe we talk a little bit about, it didn't just materialize in the last year as a problem. It's been an ongoing problem, and how the city tries generally to address problems with buildings that are unsafe. The second aspect too is those property owners who have stepped forward to say, I want a redevelopment. It's not just a blank check. There's a schedule that they have to hit and things like that. I guess my point in that long-winded question is that it's not just a simple turn the switch on or off, that this has been a long process at the front end as well as the back end of these properties.
Correct. So one of the reasons we were able to get the area declared blighted was because of the history of nuisance violations, because of the conditions of the building. You know, normally in a regular situation, when city staff is alerted to a concern, we go out, we post the property, we contact the owner. If the owner calls us and commences action, we work with them so that they can rehab or fix up their property or take care of whatever the nuisance is. In the case of these properties, there was a refusal to voluntarily comply with any kind of abatement action or notices. So the city had to take on not only a personnel and staff time, it was also very large financial responsibility in mowing and securing and taking care of all these properties. In the last year, just to give you an idea of how much of a problem these properties are, prior to the city obtaining them, we did 126 abatements where the owners did not comply. 78 of those were on these Capitol Avenue properties.
Wow.
Which means out of the other 8,000 cases that we investigated, approximately 40 had to be abated outside of these. So it's actually a really good voluntary compliance rate once you remove these Capitol Avenue properties.
Yeah.
And so that allowed us to expand this into the blight study. It allowed us to move into all these things. To your second part, going forward, there's a redevelopment agreement that would have to be entered into saying that you will commence action by this time. You will proceed without any unnecessary delays. Because it is a historic district, there's a local historic overlay district. There is requirements for what the facade can look like, what can be replaced with. You can't put modern windows into in place of the old windows. So it is a very detailed contract that whoever wins the RFPs will have to enter into. Mm-hmm. It's not, you can go up there and just buy it and do whatever you want with it, because it is an overlay district. So timeframes, materials used, you have to stay with the historic nature of the neighborhood. There is quite a bit of stuff that goes on with that.
Yeah. So if you were to look into your crystal ball, in your best case scenario, what would you hope you'd be done working on Capitol Avenue?
You know, honestly, the best thing that can happen is to have the RFP released, receive a very good product from the community, and meaning that realistic goals from developers or local citizens on what they want to put there or what they want to rehab. But honestly, the best thing for everyone is to get this out of the city's hands. We want to get these back into the private, you know, citizens. We want to get this into redevelopment, because you can't calm down issues with breaking and entering. You can't deal with things like squatting or trespassing, or if you have vacant, dangerous buildings still standing. So ultimately, if in the next 2 years, we could have these buildings at least new windows, new roofs, new everything, and somebody's going there daily, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Now, will it take longer than that to completely rehab them? Potentially. But at least if we get through this RFP process relatively quickly, then we can start seeing some improvements. And if you drive down Capitol Avenue, you can definitely tell which ones were already taken by private citizens, because they are working on them. And it's a night and day difference between, you know, us just maintaining it and somebody who now has a vested interest in it actually putting some effort.
Yeah, you can definitely see a difference in the last 3 to 5 years, just the character of that neighborhood. So, all right, so let's go to a little bit farther down Capitol Avenue, our former home, News Tribune, 210 Monroe. The city took it over on May 1st. And at this point, there's some asbestos abatement going on. Kind of walk us through what the plans are for demolition of the News Tribune.
Currently, you're 100% correct. We are doing asbestos abatement up there. Company RC out of Holt Summit is doing the work. They do quite a bit of our asbestos remediation for the city projects, including Capitol Avenue and MSP. What they're doing in the month of May is asbestos removal. There are some areas that had quite a bit of asbestos, so they forecast that to take anywhere from 2.5 to 3.5 weeks to get it all done. That asbestos has to be removed 100% prior to demolition starting. Now, the goal is to have that 100% done, and the demolition crew, which is Premier Demolition, who just is finishing up at MSP, to come up on June 1st and mobilize and begin demolition. Once that starts, being the location and the location to other structures, it will be a very controlled demolition. You know, it will take multiple weeks. It won't be like in the movies where everything just falls down at one time. Smaller houses, that does happen.
Yeah.
But on something like this, you know, we have to protect the sidewalks. We have to protect the alley, the parking garage, you know, pedestrian traffic, vehicle traffic.
There's not going to be like this dynamite where it just kind of collapses. I'm so disappointed.
I wanted that, but I got overridden. I tried it at MSP also, and they wouldn't let me do it. But no, it will, hopefully, as long as everything stays on schedule, start June 1st. And then once it's on the ground, same thing. They'll go through and they'll sort metal out. They'll go through and take the material where it needs to go based off what it is.
Yeah.
Once everything's done is a temporary, they'll go through and they'll bring fill in. They'll grade the lot. And then they'll have basically a small area that's green space until whatever development is finally chosen to move forward. You know, but basically, kind of the same thing is at MSP. The hope is once the demolition's done, you have a blank canvas where, you know, people can actually say, hey, this is where this is going to go, or this is what the potential for this area is.
Yeah. Which at the time, I mean, the plan that the city has laid out is that that will become a future home for a parking garage, conference center, and hotel, with the idea of tearing down the Madison Street parking garage, which was right adjacent to 210 Monroe. Is there a thought as to when that would be coming down?
These projects, especially when they involve redevelopment or large-scale development, are very fluid. As feasibility studies are done and ideas change, they could change quite a bit. There's some tentative plans, some discussions that council's already approved where they are moving forward with the working. As far as actual dates, I can't tell you, because just like MSP with Capitol Avenue, once I get done with my part, you know, it really involves so many people and so many different organizations and so many different funding sources that it is very fluid, and it's really hard to put a, this is when this is going to happen on something that's that large of a project.
Yeah. All right. Well, so we'll stay tuned and watch for the developments that are coming up. We appreciate you stopping by and giving us an update on those projects.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.